Any first-time visitors? Have you been with us before, sir?
Well, I've been around a bit. I'm Josh Kell. I'm with the Bellevue Church.
Well, we're glad you're with us this morning. Welcome. Please be sure and register your attendance on the pads. Joyce, can you pass out the registration? Kim, if you'll please sign the register, the attendance pads that Kim's passing out. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Any prayer? Kim?
Yeah. The family of Durwood McCord, he was a preacher all growing up. And he passed away this week, so I understand him now and where he is. And also, the family of Russell Petty.
Russell Petty?
Yes. That is the father of my best friend. And,
Okay. I'd also like to add, if you have kids or had kids down here in Nolensville School, the third grade teacher, Joanne Upton, she needs our prayers. She is not coming back this year. She has started radiation treatments. She's in a great deal of pain. So we need to lift her up. She's the third grade teacher at Nolensville. Her name's Joanne Upton. We need to keep her and her family in our prayers. Are there others? Pam? Okay. Ella Rains. Okay. Are there others? Faith Marlowe. Okay. Faith Marlowe. Are there others?
At church, I just received a call sometime this week, made contact. Columbia Church, this is the Columbia Church part. They're searching for a pastor. It's been about a year or two of them. One has said, we'll come and we won't come, and that kind of frustrates them. So, Columbia, right. Cumberland Presbyterian Church.
Okay. Are there others? If not, please continue to lift up those that we have mentioned. Continue to lift up our tsunami victims, our armed forces. Before we have our silent prayer, though, I did skip announcements. I did not mean to. Children's Ministry, every Wednesday night now from 5:30 to 6, Children's Choir, it is through 5th grade. If you're interested in that, please make plans to attend. Along with our Wednesday night dinner this week, it's hamburgers. Please be sure to fill out the RSVP if you plan on attending. Volleyball, Thursday night, 6:30. Next Sunday will be Youth Sunday. They will be leading both services, so make plans to attend that. Next Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Fayetteville Cumberland Presbyterian Church, there will be a memorial service for Jamie's brother, Corey Gross, who died unexpected last week. Brother Larry here will be leading that memorial service. Jamie is such an intricate part, and Susan too, of our church. If you can make plans to attend, maybe carpool, meet here at the church. So be thinking about that. And we need to also continue to lift that family up in prayer. So if you could bow your heads. Are there any other announcements?
week. Still working on committees. I've got an updated list passing around with some blanks there. If your name is on there and it wasn't supposed to be, either, I guess you could scratch it out, but you'll
have to answer to you.
Be ostracized, yeah. Okay. But there are some that's question marks by it, and if you haven't got a definite answer, and that says that. And then the second page has the responsibilities of those ministries or committees, and some people may not know all the responsibilities or even the main ones, and so you'll pass that around and keep it going, and maybe we'll have that completed by the end of the day, and we can get a definite first meeting to be on the 13th, or at the call of the chairperson.
Okay. Any other announcements real quick?
The first Sunday in March, and everybody is thinking about this, we're going to have we'll call it a soup Sunday. Kind of like an ice cream social, but it's a soup instead of ice cream. And we're going to ask people to bring soup in the same way that we'll say donations. And the donations are the money's going to go for the youth trip to Bend, Texas.
Okay.
And that's the first Sunday in March, right after the first service. Or
second service. Okay.
And then
breakfast is next Sunday. Mm-hmm. That starts what time?
9:00.
9:00.
If we get Larry to.
We'll put a timer on him. Any other announcements? If not, like I said, please remember those that we mentioned, those that are on the prayer list, our armed forces, wherever they may be, the tsunami victims, all the victims that are in the United States that have had California, northeast, they've got feet of snow instead of inches. So if you could just bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If you will turn in your bulletins. Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom need I fear? Yahweh is the fortress of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? One thing I've asked of Yahweh, one thing I seek, to live in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life. And now my head is held high over the enemies who surround me. So will I acclaim God with sacrifice and sing a psalm of praise to the Lord. All glory to the Lord.
Let's all stand this morning and turn in our hymnals to hymn 289, Showers of Blessing. We had showers during the night. Some may say blessing and some may not. Let's sing the first and the last.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, when today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
prayer.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, blessings have come our way more than we can use or more than we know how to deal with. And Lord, you just keep sending them. We thank you for them. Lord, for material blessings, we thank you. But for the spiritual blessings, we truly, sincerely thank you. Lord, thank you for the blessing of salvation, the blessing of your Son coming into the world, the blessing of Him taking our place on Calvary. Lord, we just thank you for a place to gather to share that blessing with one another. And Lord, we pray that this would not just be a sharing with one another, but a preparation time to go to the world, that we might be prepared to share your spiritual blessings with the world. Again, thank you for those material benefits. Thank you for inspiring us not to hoard stuff, but to pass it around and to share it. Thank you for that privilege. And thank you for a congregation that will just get really involved. But Father, we also pray for you to more inspire us, knowing that eternal life, life after this life, is of utmost importance. So we come this morning hoping to be better prepared through every aspect of this service. We come asking your blessing upon George as he brings your message, your spokesman this day. But we pray also for our hearts. And we pray in the name of Jesus, praying even as he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals again, if you will, please, to hymn 338 at Calvary. And you notice that we're doing the We Are Learning hymn in the 8 o'clock service also. Again, let's do first and last stanzas.
Years I spent in vanity and pride.
knowing not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdens hope found liberty at Calvary. The grace that brought it down to man, the mighty God that God did spend at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burning soul found liberty at Calvary. Kim is going to come and give our special music today. I know everybody will get another blessing out of that.
There is no clearance right now.
Are we going to do We Are Learning now?
After the offering.
Okay. We come to the time where we express thanks to God by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Think of us in this way as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Holy God, again, we recognize your blessings of a material nature that you have called for us to return a portion of these to promote the work that you have called us to do. That being to share your love through Jesus Christ. Again, thank you for the privilege of giving, the privilege of having. Help us to be found worthy. In Christ's name. Amen.
I still forgot. And so your memory goes first. I don't know what's second. Play that through for us, please, man.
Will not forget to not preach today and introduce to you and George Estes. George has been with us before. He preached some couple of years ago or on a Sunday morning, and then last January he came and did our consultation, and so about 40 plus of you were interviewed, I remember. George is a long-term friend. He's pastored in Tennessee, Arkansas, Texas, Maybe where else?
Indiana.
And now he is working for the Board of Missions, and he may want to tell you a little bit about that. He is stationed, his office is in Memphis at our denominational headquarters. Last week, he went to Miami to be a part of a dedication service for a first unit of a, was the first unit, maybe?
What was the organizational service of the church?
Organizational service of a church, Hispanic-speaking church, and the pastor of that church happens to be a former classmate of ours, too, who came from Cali, Columbia, South America, to attend seminary at the same time that George and I were in seminary together. So anyhow, I present to you the Reverend George Estes.
Thank you, Larry. Yes, I am delighted to be back with you and on a beautiful wintry Sunday morning. Woke up this morning to snow-covered streets and lawns and rooftops. It's beautiful to me. But I hope it's gone off the road by the time I start back to Memphis this afternoon later. It is a privilege to be back with you. And yes, I was in Miami last week. I was going to mention that. We have a new Cumberland Presbyterian Church officially organized now in Miami called El Camino, which means the way. And the pastor is Luciano Jaramillo, that Larry has already mentioned. Luciano is a familiar name to some who are longtime Cumberland Presbyterians because a number of years ago he was the director of our Colegio Americano in Cali, Colombia, one of the, if not the largest, one of the largest institutions of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. It's a tremendous school in Colombia. And he has been working for the International Bible Society since he's been in the States for probably 30 years, where he has been in charge of the Spanish-speaking translations for the NIV that some of you carry around. And so he has been operating out of his Miami office for a number of years, and then just recently, within the last 3 years, began a work there. It was basically an independent congregation that came into our denomination because of his relationship and others. They came into our denomination about 3 years ago, and they purchased a building, and it was at one time, I believe it was a Lutheran church building. And they, with the help of John Lovelace and others, went down for work trips a couple of times, fixed up that building. It's about 60 or 70 years old, the building is. And so they have a what amounts to a brand new facility and a brand new church. And I think there were 80 people who signed the covenant roll for the charter members last Sunday. They elected seven elders, and they have a board of deacons also. It's part of their tradition. So it was a great occasion for us, and I got to see 14 people baptized, and you don't see that every day. So I was thrilled to be a part of that service. This morning I turn to a brief passage from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in the New Testament, beginning at the 4th chapter, and the first few verses of that chapter will be the basis for our meditation this morning. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. May God bless you by understanding this reading from His Word as we pray together. Mighty God, on this Lord's Day, we gather once again to hear Your Word, to share it with one another, to receive it into our hearts, to be shaped and molded by it, and to be encouraged and inspired through it for the living of our lives of discipleship. Grant that Your Holy Spirit will inspire us in these moments. Reveal to us that which has been unknown before. Show us a pathway to Your heart that we have not taken before. Illumine for us opportunities for service and witness that we had neglected before, so that, departing from this place, we will go in a new strength, with a new vision, a new sense of empowerment to be Your people in the world. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be all glory, power, might, and dominion forever and ever. Amen. George Sweezy was an old evangelism professor, and he wrote a book one time where he told a legend. The legend goes like this, you may have heard it before, that on the day that Christ ascended into heaven, there was great rejoicing, of course, around the throne of grace, and all of the angels, all the saints gathered around and gave praise to Christ for His atoning work. It was a tremendous occasion. But after the singing and the praising finally began to subside a little bit, one of the angels back in the back row asked the question, Lord, now that You've done this wonderful thing, how will the world know about it? And the legend goes that Christ looked up and He said, well, I have My disciples, Peter and James and John and all the rest, and they're going to tell people. And I believe it might have been the angel Gabriel who got a puzzled look on his face, a worried frown across his brow, because he knew the limitations of human beings. And he said to the Master, Lord, don't You have a backup plan? Well, so far as we know, God doesn't have a backup plan for sharing His good news except just earthen vessels like you and me. Somehow, through our personalities, through our contacts, through our faith, no matter how weak or how feeble it sometimes seems to us, somehow God expects to use us to be His witnesses in the world, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. Now, as soon as I say this, Cumberland Presbyterians begin backpedaling. For some reason, we don't feel very adept at what we call evangelism or sharing our faith with other people. We get a little bit nervous when someone implies that it's our responsibility to share our faith with the world in which we live, to actually talk to someone else about Jesus. What if they ask us a question that we couldn't answer? What if they expected us to be a Bible scholar and we're really not all that astute when it comes to scriptural studies? It would be embarrassing. Maybe it would be best if we just didn't say anything at all, and that way we wouldn't be placed in that position. Or we might say this, you know, I have some friends who are not actively engaged in church, and they probably are not all that close to the Lord at all in their relationship, but I don't want to damage my friendship with them by bringing up something as sensitive as Christian faith. I take the view, live and let live. It's their business, and my beliefs are my business. We're tolerant to a fault. But you know, I'm helped by the fact that even though we don't necessarily feel all that empowered and excited about being witnesses for Jesus Christ, I'm helped by the fact that it was just ordinary folks like you and me who were the first disciples called to walk with Jesus. And they became people, because of their relationship with Christ, they became the kind of people that later would be said of them, they turned the world upside down. Well, I'm not turning the world upside down myself. How about you? When it comes to our faith sharing today, how are we doing? This text, the one I just shared with you, particularly that verse that says, do the work of an evangelist. I adopted that text as my biblical motto when I came to work for the Board of Missions about 11 years ago. And I asked my wife to do a counted cross stitch of that particular verse. And she put it on a beautiful plaque for me, and I have it in my office. Do the work of an evangelist. Every day I look up and see that, and I say, well, what have you done today? And I said, well, today hasn't been all that great a day in terms of doing the work of an evangelist. I have to say that quite frequently. How about you? I have a feeling that the reason St. Paul said this to Timothy was because he knew Timothy wasn't very good at it. The reason Paul takes a moment to remind Timothy, his young protege, of what it's like to be a minister of the gospel, what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as a lay person, it has to do with being steady. It has to do with enduring our suffering from time to time. It has to do with patience. But it also has to do with sharing our faith, doing the work of an evangelist. Even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't think I have a special gift for it, even when I'm not good at it, somehow I am responsible, you are responsible for doing the work of an evangelist. Now, when we hear the word evangelist today, I know there are lots of things that come to our minds. We think about the televangelists, for one thing, and we don't necessarily want to be associated with them. Or we think about that preacher out on the corner in the town square, consigning everyone to a fiery future. That's not what we want to be identified with necessarily, is it? So I'm going to give you a couple of tools to think about today as you consider what it might mean for you personally to be engaged in the work of an evangelist in your setting. I want us to broaden our understanding of what evangelism is, because it's really not as restricted as sometimes we think of it. It's not just standing over somebody and making sure that they pray the sinner's prayer so that they come to faith and an awareness of Christ as their Savior. I'm going to broaden our understanding of evangelism so that it includes you and me. The first aspect I'd call your attention to is what I call incarnational evangelism. By that I mean, our work as an evangelist is centered on Jesus Christ, who Himself is the incarnate Word of God. He was the Word of God made flesh. He embodied all that God is, all that God does in the world. And so His teachings, His reaching out to those who were in need, His healings, His miraculous powers, even His atoning work upon the cross, all of that manifests who God is. And so that's our story. That's what we have to share with the world. We are talking about an incarnate Christ. But when I say that evangelism is incarnational, I also mean to suggest to us that it's about the way we live. The way we are somehow God's Word come flesh. God's embodiment of His work in the world. Because we are following Jesus Christ, walking in His footsteps, we are manifesting Him in our lives. He lives in us. We live in Him. That's incarnational evangelism. Now let's see how Jesus dealt with folks. Jesus had the gift of dealing with people one-on-one. You see this when He recruited His disciples, of course. But beyond that, He dealt with someone like that woman at the Samaritan well. And she was a person who was probably outcast by her community. Not well thought of because she was there at noontime all by herself drawing water. And there this stranger from Galilee appeared. And they had this conversation, the woman at the well. Had this conversation in which Jesus was able to peer deeply into her heart. And to give her hope where there had not been any hope before. Jesus dealt with her one-on-one. But do you know the first thing that she did? She went back to her own village and she began to tell her friends and neighbors, you know, you've just got to meet this person that just told me everything about myself. And when they went out to see Jesus for themselves, they said to Him things like this: we first believed about You because of what she told us, but now because we have met You face to face, we have our own relationship with You. That's incarnational evangelism. Well, Jesus dealt with people one-on-one. There was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. You shall not kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness. And the young man said, well, you know, I've done that all along, but I still think there's something missing in my life. I still don't believe I have it quite together. What must I do to be sure that I am saved, that I have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, well, you do lack one thing. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and then come follow me. We get hung up on go and sell what you have. I know that. We get hung up on give to the poor. But what Jesus was really saying was, and then come and follow me. That touches us all. That's incarnational evangelism. But Jesus also dealt with people one on some. That's the group of the disciples. A small group, 12 people from everyday life, from all kinds of vocations, coming after Jesus, and He would instruct them. They would be able to walk with Him on a daily basis, see what He did, hear what He said, model their lives after His life. He worked with people one on some. Small groups are a big part of our church life today. It's where we learn a lot about God, about Scriptures, about how to pray together, how to support one another. I like that kind of incarnational evangelism, one-on-some. And then Jesus also was good at one-on-many. You remember how He spoke to the multitudes, the Sermon on the Mount? How on that mountainside He fed the thousands of people? How He would stand out in a boat off the shore and speak to multitudes of people, and they would bring their sick to Him, they're confused, they're downtrodden, they're hopeless. He knew how to deal with the multitudes of people too. Now in your incarnational concept of evangelism, you have opportunities to deal one-on-one with all your good friends, your family members who may need the Lord. You have opportunity to deal one-on-some because you have networks of relationships that bring you into contact with small groups all the time. And then there may be occasions when, if you're a public school teacher or in business or in corporate life, or you're in community activities or in a civic club, when you have a chance to serve one on many,
and to give your witness that way. That's all an opportunity to do the work of an evangelist. Not beating anyone over the head with anything, but simply opening the opportunity for new life through Christ to those who need to hear it. And then there is what I call relational evangelism. That's where you develop networks of relationships based on the friendships that you have, the acquaintances that you have, people that may need a helping hand spiritually from time to time. Jesus was excellent at developing relational experiences with people. We see how He operated again and again. He's our model for this. Well, you probably have relationships now. You can probably think of people who do not have a regular relationship with a church. They may not be people who are spiritually motivated, so far as you can tell. But somewhere in that relationship, I'm sure there will be an opportunity for you to say, you know, this is what's meaningful to me. Maybe it'd be helpful to you too. We think of relational evangelism as a way of living out our Christian faith. Being the kind of person that others want to identify with. Showing as winsome an opportunity to be a Christian as possible. Sometimes Christian faith seems intimidating to the non-believer. But if you're a person of joy, a person of hope, a person of faith, even in the midst of darkness, that communicates something powerful to the world you're living in. And that's relational evangelism. Then one last comment. And this is for all of us. We may not be very good at evangelism, may not be very good personally sharing our faith with anybody else. But there is one thing that we can do. We can see to the fact that we have what we might call a congregational evangelism, a congregational approach to evangelism. That's making sure that our church, Jenkins Church, does the very best possible job it can of presenting the gospel to this community. In all of our ministries, all of our programs, all of our activities, we want to put Christ first and foremost, above everything else. We want to make sure that the community knows that this is what we stand for and this is what we will give our lives for. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I think this may be where Touch the Future comes in for this church. Because you are now beginning to embark upon a discerning process as to what God is calling you to do and be in the next few years and the direction for your ministry. Well, that's a congregational question. It involves us as individuals, certainly. It involves us as small groups because of our session and our leadership in the committees and teams that we have. But it involves the whole congregation in sharing the Word of God through our ministries in this church. Well, let me ask you. In terms of doing the work of an evangelist, how are we doing? How's that working for you? It's hard sometimes. But I hope what I've said encourages you a little bit to be the kind of congregation, the kind of disciple that can give people today eternal hope. We need it. We are in a world of darkness. All you have to do is read the paper, listen to the evening news, to see the difficulties that the world encounters all the time. For me, and I think for you too, the hope of the world is Jesus Christ. What kind of difference would it make in our old world if people all understood that? Let's pray. Lord, we are challenged to to do the work of an evangelist, and sometimes we don't feel as if we know what to do or how to do it. But we are encouraged by the fact that over the years, down through the centuries, it's been ordinary people just like us who have passed the torch of the Christian message down from one generation to the next, shared the truth of Christ with others, and for that reason we are able to be here today and give you glory. And we now feel that sense of responsibility for passing on that wonderful message. Help us to see Jesus in one another and to share Jesus with one another. It is in His name that we pray. Amen.
Psalm 342. How do you respond to God's word, the challenge to be faithful as ministers, to get the word around? We need to respond in a public manner this morning. Let's stand together and sing, just as I am. Let's do
Testing. One. Testing. I'm going to have to turn that one up a little. Okay.
Barbara Riddle was in there, I know her, like, from years ago, and she said, well, we've got lots of Bible classes. No, I've got out my car, I said, we're getting five while I'm here. like the Bible. I said, no, you have to say, let me go back. She told me later, when I go to the car, and go with the kid or whatever. We've got more. We've still got
more.
Oh, I know.
Where's the one?
Is that the only one?
Yeah. Anybody says that?
So I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Thank you.
was good and warm when you were in there.
I think
so. I knew for both, too.
You need to take a walk.
It was air circulating back that way.